The epistle reading today is from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our Savior, appears again, you also will appear with him in glory. I did not read that well, but hopefully you gathered the meaning from it. Jesus died for us, and when he comes again, we will be with him.
The gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell the disciples, 'He has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him.' This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the disciples. And suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, the scripture that you have just heard is an amazing scripture. I love to look at all four gospels and how they report the resurrection of Jesus and the coming of our Savior. And I love this one. It's just so much happening in 10 short verses. And it really is about helping us experience something completely new. Completely new. And so in Matthew, I think this gospel writer said, let's get it fast and let it soak in on us. So let's imagine, if you will, for just a minute, what is it like? When was the last time you did something really new and really different? What was that like for you to do something for the very first time? Now, this happened to me many, 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 many years ago, but I remember my first job. I wanted so badly to work at Burger Chef. I just really wanted to. I didn't understand yet about the greasy apron that I had to wear all the time, but I just couldn't wait. And so as soon as I was old enough, I went and I asked the manager, and he said, "Well, you know, we really don't have anything. Could come back in a couple weeks." So in a couple weeks, I came back. "Well, Laura, we still really don't have anything. Maybe come back in a couple more weeks." So a couple more weeks, I came back. And he said, "You know, seriously, we really don't have anything, but maybe in a couple more weeks." And so I went back. And he said, "You know, truly, we really don't have anything, but you keep coming back, so the job is yours." I loved that job. I just absolutely loved it. I loved learning how to do fast food, and I was taught how to to interact with people. And that one of the most important things they taught me was to constantly be looking for what it is that I should be doing. You know, I worked for one of those managers who had the motto, if you have time to lean, you have time to lean. Yeah, there you go. Now, I wish I could tell you that all these years later I still did that, but I don't. But I got really good at it, at least paying attention. Well, the task of Easter is every single year is to help us to see this story through new eyes in a brand new way. And that's why I like, if you follow a lectionary every year, the story is a little bit different because we see it through new eyes. I love this. And especially because in these 10 verses, it is very what I would call frenetic. Don't you think? Now, I looked up the word to make sure I knew what it meant, because sometimes I think I know what a word means and then I use it and I didn't. But it was exactly. It was it's fast and it's energetic and it's in a wild way. This passage is frenetic. Come on, look at this. This story, here's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, and they're just so sad because Jesus has died. But in the middle of that, there is an earthquake, and then there's an angel, and the angel rolls the stone away. And then this is my favorite part. The guards, they're so scared, they shake, and they fall over like they're dead. They're just laying there. And the women are standing, and then they run to where Jesus appears to them and gives them a task. In 10 short verses. What a great story is that? Could you imagine if you were the women? Could you imagine if you were the guards who were so scared? I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to lay over and play dead. Now I'm going to be like a possum. I love this story. I love this translation. Jesus appears. The women didn't even expect him, but Jesus appears. If you listened, you heard the urgency. 2 times the word suddenly is used. In verse 2, suddenly there was a great earthquake. In verse 9, suddenly Jesus met with them. The word quickly is used 2 times. In verse 7, sorry, had to find it. Then go quickly and tell the disciples. And then in verse 8, so they left the tomb quickly. There's this urgency, suddenly, quickly. We need to get going because we have a new task. We have a task of sharing Jesus to those who don't know anything about who he is or why he's here or why, and this is the best, why Jesus is so important to me. And because in these passages, as you read through the Gospels and you read about who Jesus is, every single person, I believe, could leave that encounter with Jesus by saying, I think I'm Jesus's favorite. Because there's that much care and that much compassion with every single encounter. And now then, we all, just like the women, have been given the task to go and tell everyone else. Because that's how the love of God is spread. It's through us reaching out to people who've never heard the story or have never seen it lived out with such care and gentleness and compassion and love. That's the story of Easter. That's the story of Easter. So, What do we do with these? Because in the midst of this, while we have two suddenlies and we have two quicklies, did you notice that we also have two versions of do not be afraid? Because anytime I've been given a task, anytime I have something new, all of these doubts and fears come into my mind. What if I'm not good enough to clean the milkshake machine at the end of my shift at Burger Chef? What if I mess it up? What if I'm not up to the task to help people understand the love and passion and compassion of God through Jesus? What if I can't love someone the way Christ would? That fear nags at me and compels me to try to be better. Now, a lot of you, I know a lot of you don't necessarily know me too well, but a lot of you who know me well say, well, Laura, you still have a lot of work to do, so let's keep at it. And that's true. I have so much work to do. And that's why this story is so compelling to me. It's a reminder of Jesus saying, do not be afraid. The first time, it happened in verse 5. But the angel said to the women, do not be afraid. I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. Do not be afraid. Is there a time in your life when you knew what was going to happen? You knew what the next step was, and yet just don't want to take it? Because sometimes we know that next step leads to another and another and another and another. And maybe you don't feel up to the task. Maybe I'm too worried about what all is entailed. But the angel says, do not be afraid. I think the angel was also saying to the women, I know you came for this one thing. I know you came to prepare the body of your good friend Jesus. And now everything is changed and turned. But don't be afraid. It's almost like saying, don't be afraid. There will always be someone to help you with the next step and the next. And sometimes those people are the ones that come along and help us with the next step after I've missed a step in there and stumbled and fallen. The angel explained to the women what was happening and what would happen. Don't be afraid. Verse 10. Then Jesus said to the women, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And now Jesus is giving the women assurance. They know what has happened. They know what the next step is. And Jesus is saying, don't be afraid. I know this is a new world, and I know it's scary, and I know we don't know exactly what's going to happen next. But don't worry. Don't be afraid. Whatever happens, God will strengthen you. God will uphold you. God will guide you. God will take you to the next place that you should be. And Jesus is saying also to the women, you know, you were running because I was gone from the tomb and you didn't know where I was, and here I am. Don't be afraid. I am never going to leave you. Don't be afraid. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't be afraid. Whatever we face it together. Because in this world, there is nothing that we encounter, nothing that we encounter that is stronger than God's love. God's love holds us together. God's love gives us courage. God's love gives us the direction. And the good news is that all through this, God will always have the last word, because God is triumph. God is victory. God is perfect love. It seems to me that this is such a good reminder of the passage from 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. What a great reminder. No matter what it is that we face tomorrow, no matter what it is that happens to us next month or next year, God is with us. We can face it because perfect love, God's love, casts out all fear. May we live in this Easter moment. May we live with this Easter promise that we belong to God, we're loved by God, and that love lasts forever. Amen and amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.